Hey, and welcome back to What's the Truth with me, Jessica Hoddle. Today's lie is lie number 17. I just don't have time. You're listening to the What's the Truth podcast with me, Jessica Hoddle. I'm a number one best-selling author, wife, and coach. I refuse to let you keep believing the lies that are coming at you from every direction. Every week, I'll speak truth, bring encouragement, and inspire you as I uncover the lies you may believe to be true about your life. Each episode is meant to challenge the way you think to change the way you live. And today, we have a special guest, Carrie. She's a Christian, she's a wife, she's a mom, and I love the stories that she's a pharmacist turned into a leader in natural healthcare. So before we go any further, I want to address what this lie really is. This lie is about, I don't have enough time to work out. I don't have time to eat healthy. And so Carrie really dives deep into practical steps to address this lie, what the truth really is. And she also asks questions that you can ask yourself. She is the co-founder with her sister of A Natural Shift, which is an online community. And she is really passionate about seeing women prioritize their health and how broken the healthcare system is. Now, I also want to address that she is a pharmacist turned natural healthcare provider, and she shares that. But the key point is we are not talking that pills are bad. And then if you are taking pills, something is wrong. So I really want to make sure we address that. And that is not the heart of this episode at all. But we want to challenge people and women to rise up and to really claim their health back and to understand that you can be made well and that this is not the end of your life and you don't have to settle into a dysfunction. So before I say anything else, let's just hop right over to the interview. Carrie, I'm so glad that you're here with me today to open up this conversation that I know that I have with a lot of women. And it's the lie that there's never enough time. I don't have the time. And so why do you think that we say this?
Yeah, Jessica, I'm so glad to be here today and to just chat about a subject that I've struggled with personally. And that's usually what, you know, we have personally struggled with it. And so we have a heart for others that do and really want to help them in that. And so why do I think that we struggle with this so much? a couple of different things. I'm just going to speak for myself and then, you know, you can probably relate to it. So I find myself, just the thought that I don't have enough time makes me stressed. And when I'm stressed, I tend to do things that make me lose time, that there are times suck, right? And so it's like this big hamster wheel, basically. And so I feel that it affects us in a lot of different ways, because when we are on this hamster wheel, it's hard to get off, and we just stay stressed and we just stay worried. Just even thinking in the future, say I'm thinking about my day and I know that I'm going to have a busy day, and just thinking in my mind, I'm not sure if I'm going to have enough time to do X, Y, and Z, makes me more stressed. And so, you know, I just think about, what do I do when I'm stressed? Sometimes I look at my phone and I scroll. Sometimes I go and, you know, clean up an area of the house that really doesn't even need cleaning right now. I find all these things to do because I'm stressed. And so it's really just a big hamster wheel. I'm pretty sure you can probably relate to that in some different scenario in your life, right?
Yeah. Well, how do you think that, like, what do you think that when people say, I don't have enough time, how can you break that down for them? What are they really communicating with us when they say, I don't have enough time?
Yeah. They're really saying that, maybe a couple of different things, let's say, but most of all, I feel like they're saying, I don't know what my priorities are. I don't have a clear way of communicating. I don't have a clear way of scheduling. So they're having basically all of these thoughts are in their head going around and around and around, and it's creating all of this stress and chaos in their minds. And so they can't focus and they can't really prioritize their day because they're just all up in their head, and it's really just a big hamster wheel that, like I said, they can't get off of.
Is there a practical step that you could maybe encourage them, even those listening, that, you know, cause we've all said that, like, oh, I don't have time, really. Like you said, we'll scroll our phone for 20 minutes or, you know, we just kind of, and that's like numbing out. Cause that's just us trying to deal with emotion. Like our body's trying to deal with emotion and things that are coming up in a way that's just numbing out. So what's a practical step that could help somebody kind of get off the hamster wheel? What's something that they could put into practice?
Yeah. One really practical tip I have is just to get the thoughts out of your head. So if you're just feeling overwhelmed and you're kind of stressed about all of that, I just like to write down a to-do list, write down thoughts that I'm having. If I'm really feeling stressed and that I don't have enough time is impacting as far as I'm just telling myself all these lies. Like I know that I'm doing it, but yet I just can't stop doing it. I'll often take time to just write down a list of truths and write down a list of lies. And to me, just seeing them on paper, I can pray over it. You know, I can just realize this is so the enemy trying to get me off course here. That to me is very, very helpful and just gives me a little bit of clarity. And you know, sometimes you still feel a little bit overwhelmed and stressed, but yet lots of times that helps me.
No, that's good. I'm with you there because yeah. I do brain dumps all the time. Like this morning I did a brain dump because I knew that I was going to be, you know, doing a lot of work today. And I was like, oh man, I really need to get everything out that's on my head because I started to feel just that overwhelm, which is really just a bunch of thoughts coming at you that you just need to get out, like you said. And I think another great tip is to track your time. So if you're unfamiliar where your time's going, or if you've ever said, oh my gosh, like I just like this whole day went by and I did nothing. Mm-hmm. I think that's important too, right? To just take a moment, like pull out just a notepad on your phone, the notes on your phone, and just go, you know, from 7 to 8, I did this, from 9 to 10, so that you can actually see how much time you're on social media. And so tracking everything will really help. Definitely. So I know we didn't get too much into who you are, Carrie, right off the bat, but now we're going to, because you're a pharmacist. How long have you been a pharmacist for?
12 years.
12 years.
So 12 and a half years.
What led you to be a pharmacist?
Yeah, great question. I often don't get asked that because we're going to talk about the next. And so we always focus on that. But, you know, just to be honest, I started working in pharmacy when I was 16 and I knew I needed to get a job. And so I just kind of picked one. And I was actually working in the front of a pharmacy. It was at CVS. And I noticed that, you know, people back in the pharmacy, they were helping people. They were, you know, solving problems. People always wanted to talk to the pharmacist, right? That's what they would come tell me. I need to talk to the pharmacist. And I'm like, why is this person so important, you know? But then I started working in the pharmacy that had an open position. So I went back there and I just felt that I was helping. I felt that I was serving. I liked healthcare. I liked to take care of myself. So it just seemed like a natural fit. And honestly, back then, okay, I was in high school, right? You need to pick a career. It made good money. And so I'm like, hey, I'm just going to go and do this. You know, it was just, you go to the pharmacy school and you make X amount and that's your career. So that's really why I got into it.
So what was your turning point though? Because this is going to go into this next question that I kind of have is, what was a turning point that you decided? What happened in your life? Did somebody say something? What transitioned you though from pharmacy to a natural healthcare provider? And how was that transition for you? Because it's like we were briefly talking about before, it was more mentally, and this goes into the live, I don't have enough time, because you're passionate about helping people become healthy and whole like I am. Yeah. So it's kind of breaking this down of why is it? Like what made that transition for you?
Yeah. So I want to kind of go back a little bit. So even though I'm a pharmacist, I've never been one to take medications, and I've always really been one to like do use the wait and see approach, but it wasn't like we like ran to the doctor all the time. So I've always had that mindset, but I was never really happy with the tools that I had. I would just kind of deal with it. You know, when you have a headache, you just kind of deal with it. Or when you don't feel good, you just kind of, you know, you learn to rest, which is great, but you don't really you have more of that pain in the waiting, let's say, right? You don't really have the tools. I wasn't happy with that. And so it really didn't come to a head, honestly, until I had my daughter, and she's about to be 8. So it was a little bit ago, but I just remember I was just wanting more options as far as just to, you know, prevent sicknesses or just to clean our house. I realized that I really wanted to decrease the toxic load, let's say, in my home, but there was just anywhere I looked, it really wasn't what I wanted. And during that time also, I found myself at work, you know, speaking of being a pharmacist and having this mindset. So when I first started in pharmacy, people were on about an average of 2 or 3 medications, I would say at most. when I got out of pharmacy school and I actually went into long-term care. So people were, you know, I was serving people in nursing homes. People were on like 10, 15, 20 medications. I mean, you know, and I noticed this, you know, when you're in school, you're not really working as much. So it was a stark contrast. And I started to realize this doesn't really seem like the best model to really help people in their health. It seems like people are getting sicker rather than getting healthier. And, you know, even though I didn't see those people face to face, I still felt that. And I just felt a little bit of discontentment in my job, you know. But here's the thing. I had just paid all this money to go to school. I was, you know, I was making this money. There was no other option. So basically I was just going to do the thing because that's what brought in the money. And so those kind of two things combined, once I had my daughter, you know, I was still looking for these options. I was still working obviously, but when I found the person that, introduced me to essential oils, I knew right away that I wanted to get them, to at least try them. I mean, I'd kind of seen about them, but I didn't know anything about them. So I got my first little kit of oils and it was exactly what I was looking for. And so that solved a lot of needs in my own home and my own health. But you know, it was interesting how, when you're a pharmacist, you have this built-in trust with people. It's called the most trusted profession. It might not be now, but it was then. And so, people really were interested in what I was doing. I was already a healthy person. So they were already all like, what are you eating for lunch? And that looks different. And tell me about it. So I was already that type of person. So that I had that trust as well. And so when I was, you know, putting lemon in my water, when I was, you know, I had a headache and I would pull out my peppermint or whatever, people were very interested, but I was not interested in helping other people in that way, just because I like to kind of keep things to myself sometimes. I guess that's a little bit selfish, but that's more my personality anyway. But long story short, God completely was like, you can't not do this. This, you want to serve people, this is how I want you to help people. And so I started teaching classes, and really the rest is a little bit of history, just because I got out of my comfort zone. I saw that I was making a huge impact in people's lives. And I was like, how can I not do this? And I really quickly saw that it was my way out of pharmacy. I was able to pay off my student loans in about a year. And so I went part-time, and then eventually now I work about one day a week. But really, I felt more convicted that, you know, our healthcare system is broken, and I want to be part of the help in this. I really want to help us get back to what God created our bodies to do, and that's heal itself, right? I wanted to give support to that rather than just put band-aids on things, is what I felt like prescriptions do as a whole. I know there are certain situations, but
yeah,
that in a nutshell.
No, that's good. And when you were talking about, you didn't feel like they had the tools, when, can you be more specific as far as, you know, what tools do you think they're missing in a sense of natural to pharmacy? And I know this isn't our topic for today, but I think understanding the gap and bridging the gap, what do you think the tools that maybe that side of things are missing?
Yeah. So, you know, as far as just at the pharmacy, it was I have this symptom, I'm going to take this medication type of approach. There was no, let's just see what's going on here. There was no other questions asked. You know, doctors don't have training on, you know, natural forms of medication. They don't have training on diet a lot of times, or yeah, they might say move your body more, but they really don't, they can't give you in 5 minutes what you need to really be supported in that. And so, you know, the tools that they need, I believe that we need to move our bodies. We need to fuel them with healthy whole foods. And then we need to have some things to help support our body when we are stressed, or when our immune system is low. And to me, that's essential oils. That's other, you know, supplements, different things like that. But, you know, when people come to the pharmacy, they don't get any of that. They really get, here you go. This may or may not solve your problem. You may or may not have 100 different side effects from this, but this is what I'm giving you today. And I want to walk alongside people. I don't want to just say, here's a quick fix. Like, I'm in this for life. And so I want to attract those people that really, they want to invest in their health and they want to make it a priority.
No, I love that. And I'm so with you on that. As far as even some doctors I went to in my own health journey, they never really asked all the questions as a whole person. You know, they were just like, for my endocrinologist, for example, like you said, they kind of just know what they know and what they learned in school.
And you can't fault them for that. I mean, no, you know, they exactly. Just don't understand all of it.
Exactly. And I think that's where it really comes into following the Holy Spirit and being the best advocate you can for your health and not just listening to what every doctor says. Because if that was the case, I would still be misdiagnosed, you know? And so
most people would, honestly, right?
And so, you know, I went headfirst into research and asking other people. But, you know, I think women can often, I mean, especially women, we often compromise our health. And we really just put it on the back burner. And it's so easy for us to go, I don't have time because I have to do all these things. When in reality, I feel like if we don't have time, nothing else can really run smoothly. Because if we don't have our body and our physical health, nothing else can get done. So why do you think we compromise it so much?
Yeah, great question. And I agree with what you said. So the topic of this discussion really is time, that we don't have enough time. That's one of the main reasons that anytime I put a poll out there, I ask people, why don't you invest in your health more? Why don't you do this or that? Time, number one reason. And so I think it's interesting how the number one reason why people put on the back burner is actually almost the number one reason why they should make it a priority. Because if you're constantly burnt out all the time, you're going to go into what I was talking about at first, right? You're going to go into this, I never have any time, and you're stressed and you're overwhelmed and you're just going to live in that cycle. And so when we do invest in ourselves and in our health and we do make it a priority, you know, time and energy, I would say probably would be the, what I hear. I just don't have the energy to do it and I don't have the time. You actually get those things back because you do have more energy, which allows you to be more focused. So you get some of that time back and you start pulling out of that cycle little by little. So that's number one. Number two, though, I feel like a lot of people don't think change is possible. Like they've just done things the same way over and for years they've tried. Maybe it was different diets, or different exercise programs, or maybe they've tried to do better. You know, they've tried whatever, but they just haven't done it for whatever reason. And so they've seemingly proven to themselves over and over again that they just can't do it. And then last, one more, they don't think they're worth it. And I know that you talk a lot about this. They just, you know, they just settle because they're like, I'm just going to deal with this. I'm surviving. I'm getting through. So I'm just going to deal with that because maybe they don't think change is possible. Maybe they still don't think they have time. So there's that playing in there too.
And I think, you know, there's a lot of people also that say that, it's from God. And so he's teaching him a lesson through sickness. And so we don't fight it because we think that the healer is giving it to us as well. And so we're not going to go to the healer for healing if we think that he's giving it to us. And I think that's really important too, of even our doctrine can keep us sick. And
that's mentally, true. I've never thought about it like that.
Mentally and everything like that, because when I was going through my healing journey, I just believed that, okay, God's teaching me a lesson. He's teaching me a lesson. What's the lesson? What's the lesson? And it actually kept me more sick because I was trying to find a lesson in my sickness versus seeing his goodness and the healing.
Oh gosh. Yeah. A lot. I can relate to that. Just, you know, not even if you have like, if you don't have this big diagnosis, like just speaking about myself, I never had any huge health issues, but I think I've seen God take me from out of comfort and out of what was seemingly good. Like, I mean, I had a good life as a pharmacist. I had good health and you know, people looking in, but it was still, I was still settling in certain ways, you know, and I think he just pulls you out of that comfort, no matter what your comfort level is, let's say. You know, maybe some people do find comfort, like you're saying, in, I'm just going to stick with it because this must be where God has me. Yeah. But I don't know. I'm with you. I think we need to look a little bit deeper and maybe ask different questions.
I heard this from somebody, I can't remember where, but somebody had said, I believe that God gave me anxiety so that I can help people with anxiety. But that goes against everything in his word. He tells us to not be anxious. He tells us to not worry. And what does anxiety do?
Right.
Worry, you know, fear, yes, everything that comes with that. And so that goes against his word. And right. So I think that we all work through something, but do you think that this could also come from a place of not understanding? Because I'm thinking about my own health journey and it's really easy to take advantage of our health until we don't have it.
Yeah.
And maybe it's coming from a place of not understanding really what's going on. Like what happens when we move our body? Because it's not just calories in, calories out. It's physiologically, it's chemically, it's all those things. Can you maybe speak into a little bit of that as far as maybe if we could get a better understanding, then we can understand, okay, I need to make time for this. Because things, we just don't make time for things we don't understand. And we say things just to say them because we don't necessarily know anything else to say.
You're right.
And so
I think that's where a lot of people are, honestly. Now that you say that, that makes a lot of sense. But I feel like the thing that I started doing, you know, I feel like first it was a mental shift. It was the fact that I knew there was something else out there. You know, I think that also kind of goes back to God's moving. And are you open to that or not? But it also, a lot of it is asking better questions. If you don't understand, you know, this might sound harsh, but ignorance is a choice these days. There's so many people out there that you could ask, you could, you know, reach out to, you could go and seek out the information for yourself. I feel like if we don't understand, we can always, there's God's going to put people in your life that are going to help guide you, you know, and if you pray for that and you really, truly don't understand, but yet you feel this calling to maybe be healthier, maybe make some of these changes, he's going to bring the right person. And maybe they're right in front of you, but you've been saying, I just don't understand. So that's not for me right now. But I feel like it really does go to opening your mind up and asking better questions.
I love that, asking better questions. And I agree with what you said of just, when I talk to a lot of women as well, it's even hard for them to vision themselves well. It's even just getting them into probably your office and going, can you see yourself well? Mm-hmm. Right? Can you just think, okay, what would it feel like to run around in the backyard with my kids? What would it feel like to not be tired after this? Mm-hmm. And that just opens up a whole new neurons and like neural pathways, things that just get firing so that, because, you know, our body tends to lead the way because it holds emotions and stories instead of our mind leading the way. And that's why, you know, the scripture tells us to not follow our hearts
and renew our minds.
Yes. Yeah. And so what practical tips, I love practical because I think that's where we all are, right? Like just Carrie, just tell me, so you're telling me I don't have time. You're telling me that I need to just get rid of this lie. And you know, I heard this recently that an excuse is a lie wrapped up with a reason. And I loved it. And so this lie that I don't have enough time is really this, it's a lie wrapped up with a reason. Mm-hmm. And so what, if somebody were to come to you today, Carrie, just tell me what I need to do. You know, think about the client that sits down with you and you're like, okay, we're starting from square one. What would you walk them through? What questions would you ask them so that the people that are listening right now could also ask themselves?
Yeah. You know, I would ask them where they're at right now. Where do they see themselves at? And I think that would really open up some of these, them to see, you know, when you write something down, that's powerful for you to just see, this is where I'm at and this is where my mindset is at. So once they kind of get their mind wrapped around that, you know, a lot of this, the lies that we were talking about, you know, time and energy, and they don't think change is possible. A lot of times you're fighting against yourself. You know, and just to help them see that, they got to drop the rope. You know, whoever's fighting against you on the other side is most likely yourself. And so just to drop that rope and realize, I don't have to live like I've been living. You know, I don't have to keep taking that with me. I can, tomorrow's a new day. And just really allowing them to see that, I think is big, because a lot of this is mindset. You know, it's really where your mind is at. And that is a lot of times leading your thoughts, and your thoughts lead your emotions, and it just really starts to be this big cycle. And so definitely start there, but also, you know, what are you prioritizing? I always like to ask people that, because if you're not prioritizing your health, then you're not going to make time for it. And you're not going to think change is possible. And so therefore you're going to have this thought of, I'm just not worth it. And this is not for me. So I feel like realizing that we have to put our priorities in order. And if you want things to change, then your health needs to be a priority, and that needs to change in your life. And to start asking these better questions of, you know, just throughout your day, you know, what am I putting in my body? Do I really not have any time, or are I really just not taking the time to even go outside for a 5 or 10 minute walk? It doesn't have to be, I'm really big on it. It doesn't have to be, let's go kill ourselves at the gym. Let's starve ourselves. No, like that is a quick fix, and you're going to get super burnt out on that. And then you're just going to reinforce the fact that you can't do it, and that, you know, you don't have the time, or whatever it might be. So I feel like we self-sabotage ourselves a lot in this area. And so helping people realize that's what they're doing and really taking the steps that works for them. I don't like to give, this is my plan and this is going to work for everybody. No, you've got to figure that out yourself. Now I can help guide you and help you see some of these things that, you know, are going to work for you and here's where you can start. But I don't like when people give plans and this is the way that's worked for me. So it's going to have to work for you because I don't know any other way, you know.
Yeah.
We've got to rely on God through this process as well. That's what I want them to realize. They've got to prioritize time with Him and quiet time so that they can get fueled up in the best way to get fueled up, right? Yeah. We fuel our body with healthy foods, but if we don't fuel ourselves with the Holy Spirit and let Him guide us, then I'm not sure that we're ever going to be all that He wants us to be.
I love that. And I want to add a third question to ask yourself. And I think it's important to ask ourselves, what do I need? Because we're often serving everybody else.
Yes.
And that comes sometimes from a place of people pleasing, mm-hmm. where we do it and we just want the accolades and we want to be good. But what happens is that we totally neglect what we need. Maybe we need, you know, a time with girlfriend, and that could just completely just, that can be so healing just to, yes. go out with a friend and talk and laugh. So, right. you know, do you just need to take a bath? You mm-hmm. know, and I think that is an important question. It's like checking with yourself, especially in the time with the Lord, or just in at a red light, turn the music off. Like just sit there for a moment in silence and ask yourself, what do I need right now?
Yeah. You know, and we often just, you're right. We're always wondering what everybody else needs, especially as moms and as women. We do that all the time. You know, we have to make sure their needs are met, especially if you have little kids, you know, and that's the season that I'm in. And so I have to really make sure that I'm checking in myself, like you're saying. And, you know, I think that's where maybe self-care gets a little bit of a bad rap, because we feel like, oh, we just need to go, you know, get our manicure done, or we need to go eat the cupcake because it's going to make us feel better, or whatever, you know, and it seems selfish. But, you know, that really is where you get these, you do start asking better questions. That is a better question to ask. What can I do for myself right now that would just help me to be a little bit more centered and feel a little bit more alive so that you can show up better, so that you can do God's work better? That's the whole point of why I love to teach people about this, because I want them to show up as their best self so that they can go and do whatever God has called them to do. Like, that's why we're here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love that you're helping people when you're asking these questions. It's not just, okay, here's what you're going to be taking. Here's your protocol. It's really addressing, okay, so maybe you believe I don't have enough time. Maybe you believe you're not worthy. Okay, well, why do we believe that you're not worthy? And you might not do this in office, but you can still ask them questions to take home and maybe, you know, tell them to seek help and advise. But I think it's important that most of the time it's layers of pain. Maybe you grew up with a mom that put you on a diet at Weight Watchers, you know, when you were a kid. And so everything after that has just stemmed from this place of, I was never good enough to begin with. So now I'm on a diet. My body was never good enough. And so we kind of just add these layers. Or maybe your husband made a comment one day about the food that you ate and he didn't mean it intentionally, but you just internalized that because you were already struggling, right? And wouldn't you agree that that kind of just builds and builds and builds? Definitely. And then when they get to you, the stress, the emotions and everything is already so on red light, like alert. And yes. The body's like, help me, you know,
But that's why you have to walk beside somebody, you know, and I don't have all the answers and I'm not a therapist, but yet, you know, that's really what we do in the community that we have. Yeah. We really lift each other up in prayer. We ask, like, what are you struggling with? What can I pray for you about? What can I help you? You know, if I have the answer and, you know, I can help you and just look at it in a little bit of a different way and providing the information, because here's the thing with health and wellness, there's so much information out there. It's overwhelming. And so that's another reason why people are just like, yep. I can't do this right now, yep. you know, and it is a lot, but you know, just helping people in that journey and just bite-sized pieces, small daily shifts, that's really what makes the biggest difference over time. And so if you have all those, we all have our own issues and they're not going to be solved overnight, but I do not like quick fixes. And so I'm definitely in it for the long run.
So I've loved having you here. I want to hear more about your community because you just mentioned it. But before we kind of go into that, I love to ask my guests this question of, what truth are you standing on today? And that means maybe there's a lie coming at you right now. Yeah. And you're like, okay, I really got to stand on truth. So what truth are you standing on today?
Yeah. You know, it's really interesting to me how, you know, I've been preparing for this podcast, just thinking about it, praying about it. And there comes the enemy. I'm thinking I don't have enough time. You know, I was just yesterday, I was just all over the place. And I'm like, I see you, you know, I know what's going on here, you know, but right now I'm standing on the truth that God's plan is so much better than mine. Like he knows how my day is going to go. He knows how the next week is going to go. Like I'm trying to plan all this stuff and just make sure it goes just right. I'm standing on his plan because it's much better than mine.
Isn't it amazing that the thing that you are pursuing and helping other people with, it's the same thing that the enemy comes to you. It's kind of laughable. Like you just have to laugh at it.
Yeah. You know, because that's why people get derailed though. They're like, if I can't do this, how am I going to help somebody else do it? Right.
Exactly. And that is where we have to recognize that the enemy will come for us where we're called. And I think that is just so
we have
important.
To be ready. Yeah. You got to be ready and be equipped and be in the word.
So tell us about this community. I want to know more.
Yeah. So I haven't mentioned, but my sister, we're like the same person. And so we've been on this journey together and we realized that, you know, we have these different parts that we can upgrade in our lives as far as, you know, maybe we started long ago with learning how to cook and moving our body. And then we kind of introduced essential oils and really help people in that. But this is a big picture. And so we really want to help people just navigate all of this, right? And provide solid information, but yet a Christian group of women, a community that comes together and prays for each other and is there for each other, that was sort of missing. And so we really wanted to create that. And so we come together as a natural shift, me and my sister, Julie, and we wanted to create a group of ladies that could be held accountable, be together and really lift each other up. And that's what the community is. And so we started that back in October because God just gave us clarity on this and said, you know, you guys have, I know I have realized how much of importance it is to have somebody there during this journey. And my sister has been that person. And so I realized everybody doesn't have that. We need, you know, we want to come together and kind of bring other people in. And so we kind of call it the sisterhood, but that is really in a nutshell what the community is. And it's very near and dear to our heart.
So tell me, who is it for? Who is it for as far as maybe what they're struggling with? What's the desired outcome that you provide from the community?
Yeah. So the community is for somebody that does feel overwhelmed by this lifestyle. They do feel alone in their struggles. So they're out there trying to do, you know, all these healthy things and maybe they're succeeding, maybe they're not, but they, you know, you need somebody there with you. You need somebody to lift you up in prayer. You need somebody, a safe place to ask questions, to really get solid information that, you know, it's the internet is very overwhelming in that. And so we provide weekly teachings and ways to help show how we're living it out in our daily lives. We bring people on as well that are like, you know, maybe a fitness person to kind of talk about that, or just, we really want to help support people and bring people together that are trying, you know, making their health a priority. That's what we hope.
And where can they find you and your sister at?
Yeah. It's anaturalshift.com. And if you want specifically to see information about the community, anaturalshift.com/community.
And you guys have Instagram too.
We do. Yeah. @anaturalshift.
Okay. Well, is that where we want people to go? Is the community and to Instagram?
Yeah, that's perfect. You know, we're really excited. Also, I will tell you that we are in the process of coming out with our first course, everything you need to know about making the shift in your life and in your health. So we're really excited about that. That'll be coming out in April. So
I actually love that, making the shift. It's like something that we're like, yes, I need to know how to get from here because I'm stuck and I don't know where to go and I'm overwhelmed. So how can I make the shift? That's really
good. That's right. So like, yeah, one place.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for hanging out with me today, Carrie. And I know that so many people listening will just be so encouraged to know, one, that they're not alone, two, practical questions to ask themselves and just to get started. And guys listening, friends, well, ladies, guys, I'm sure maybe a little bit, but you know, ladies listening, go check out Carrie and her sister. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the What's the Truth podcast. I'm so glad that you're here, but I don't want to miss you being here. So make sure you subscribe to the What's the Truth podcast, and I'd love to hear what truth that you're standing on today by leaving a review. Until next time,
come hang out with me on Instagram at Jessica Hoddle, where we can connect and continue to support and encourage each other on this journey to uncovering the lies that we believe to be true about our lives.